Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. This is Dr. Youngblood. You're tuned in to another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues. We're looking forward to this broadcast with you, our listener, participating in the dialogue and the discussion. And may I remind us once again that as we face the issues in life, every Christian ought to go back to the book of books, the Bible, for the resources, for the information, for the direction, for the wisdom that's needed to face the issues in life. This is the reason Jesus told his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." It's what he said to his disciples in John 8, 31 and 32. Then Jesus said in John 17, 17, "Thy word is truth." And so, ladies and gentlemen, when we face the issues in life, and we're all facing them, either great or small, someone said on one occasion, you're either entering into a problem, you've just gotten out of a problem, or there's one just around the corner that you will start into. And I call them issues. And so as we face the issues, we need to face them based on the authority of Scripture. But ladies and gentlemen, before we get into the monologue for today, let me remind you that we'd love to have you join in our worship services this Sunday morning. The Bible study is at 9:30, and the worship service is at 10:45, and then the evening worship service at 7 o'clock. We'd love to have you to participate with us at either of the services this Sunday at First Conservative Baptist Church. We're located at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road. That's precisely exactly 1 mile south of I-295, right here in the heart of Mandarin. We still preach and teach the old-fashioned Word of God without any modification or without any additive. We believe that the Scripture ought to be taught verse by verse and chapter by chapter throughout the Word of God, and that's what we do. It's called expository preaching. Expository preaching. This is the reason each Saturday morning you can tune into this same broadcast and hear expository preaching right from the pulpit of First Conservative Baptist Church. We've met you by way of radio broadcast. We'd love to meet you in person, so we'd be delighted to have you as our special guest this Sunday at First Conservative Baptist Church. So let me remind you, we're located at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, 1 mile south of I-295, right here in the heart of Mandarin. And ladies and gentlemen, keep in mind that each day as we face the issues, we invite you, our listener, to participate by dialing 401-1413. Get you directly through to the studios and right to our microphones so that we can have dialogue and discussion on the issue of the day. We're going to be talking about today with a question: will Christians face persecution in America? Will we as believers face open persecution in America because of our faith? And I think you'll see by way of this broadcast that my answer is yes. I am not frightened because I know that God is still in control, but I'm gravely concerned. Ladies and gentlemen, most Christians are familiar with the biblical accounts of Christian persecution in the church in the first century. In the first century, churches and Christians were persecuted for preaching the gospel openly. Study the Scripture. In the book of Acts, for example, Peter was beaten, warned, and threatened, thrown into prison, and then ultimately, he said in Acts 5:29, we ought to obey God rather than man. And then in the 12th chapter of the book of Acts, he was cast into prison, and they were praying for him. And ultimately, he was released by the angel of God, the Scripture says. But the Christians in the first century church were persecuted simply for preaching the gospel. Secondly, Christians in the first century church were persecuted and put to death just for being Christians. In fact, in Acts chapter 8, verse 1, 2, and 3, and I'll read those for our edification, for setting the stage for where we're going in this broadcast. The scripture says, "And Saul was consenting unto his death," speaking of the death of Stephen, and at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria. Then in verse 3, the scripture says, "As for Saul, he made havoc with the church, entering into every house and hauling men and women, committing them to prison." Ladies and gentlemen, that was in the first century church. And most Christians read that kind of nonchalantly and feeling, well, we've come a long way and that doesn't affect us and that doesn't apply to us. And we really don't have that problem today. But ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. Even in the first century church, Christians were martyred, that's killed, put to death, simply because of preaching the gospel. The seventh chapter of the book of Acts is a good example of it. Stephen was stoned to death simply for preaching the gospel. In fact, it was something that as they heard him preach, they got angry and bent out of shape. And the scripture says in the 54th verse of the chapter 7 of Acts, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and they gnashed on him with their teeth. Speaking of the ones that they are objectors to the gospel being proclaimed. So in the first century church, the persecution of the gospel, persecution just for preaching the gospel, persecution and put to death for preaching the gospel, Christians are martyred for preaching the gospel, and death warrants were issued and prison sentences given to Christians simply because they were Christians. In fact, in Acts chapter 9, verse 1 and following, "And Saul breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest," and there he went to the high priest. He got death warrants to persecute and prosecute Christians and put them to death. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm using that to set the stage because as Christians, we all know intellectually and philosophically that the scripture is correct, but somehow, some way, we have divorced ourselves from the reality of what took place then and in a measure of what we see happening today in the United States of America. Christian persecution is something that's open and real in China. It's open and real in Indonesia. It's open and real in Saudi Arabia. Christian persecution is open and real around the globe, ladies and gentlemen. And somehow, some way, we as Christians in America think that we're insulated from the potentiality of our religious liberties and freedom of speech and religious freedoms to be taken away from us. Ladies and gentlemen, over the recent years, we as Americans have witnessed Christian persecution and, yes, even prosecution by the courts at the encouragement of the politically charged on the left. These cases are the result of the sodomite battle for acceptance by the church. For example, Christian cake bakers prosecuted, persecuted, one in particular in Washington State, and I'll tell you more about that in a moment. She was a Christian florist. She was prosecuted, persecuted, all the way to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court reversed it back to the Washington State Supreme Court, and now they're trying to come up with some irrational reasoning as to what they've done and why. But the Christian cake bakers that were prosecuted and persecuted until bankruptcy, simply because the Christian cake bakers said, "We're not going to bake cakes for a sodomite wedding when it's against our conscience, it's against the Word of God, it's against our Christian beliefs." And then you had the Christian bed and breakfast owners that were persecuted and prosecuted because they would not allow sodomite couples to come into their own home where they were renting overnight stay. Christian flourish, Christian businesses in general, persecuted and prosecuted. Ladies and gentlemen, here's the case of the Washington State Supreme Court that I just alluded to. Title of the article says, "Court gets evidence. Court gets out of evidence. State hostility toward the Christian." In a filing with the Washington State Supreme Court, Brunel Stutzman, the Christian florist punished for refusing to make an arrangement for the same-sex wedding ceremony, contends the state's attorney general exhibited hostility toward her, both personally and as a representative of the state government. The case against Stutzman, launched by Attorney General Bob Ferguson, is being reconsidered by the state Supreme Court on the order of the U.S. Supreme Court. The U.S. Supreme Court issued the order after it found that the state of Colorado exhibited hostility toward Masterpiece Cake Shop baker Jack Phillips, who was ordered into a state re-indoctrination program for refusing to make a wedding cake for a same-sex couple. The opening brief to the state court was submitted on Stutzman's behalf on by way of Alliance Defending Freedom. It contends Ferguson, that's the Supreme Court, or the state court in Washington State, the Attorney General. Contends that Ferguson, which was the Attorney General, repeatedly, with hostility, attacked Stutzman, even though the accusing gay customer didn't file a complaint until much later, end quote. The Attorney General has targeted her because of an exhibited hostility toward her religious beliefs about marriage, according to the filings in court. He devised an admittedly unprecedented use of the state's law to punish Ms. Stutzman while refusing to pursue a Seattle coffee shop owner who viciously berated and expelled Christian customers because of their religious beliefs. This article further states, the brief said the unequal treatment combined with the Attorney General's dismissive and derisive comments about Ms. Stutzman's faith leaves no doubt that he has targeted her because of his animus toward her religious beliefs. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that is equal to what's found in the book of Acts in relationship to the persecution of the first century church that was taking place then. And may I suggest, ladies and gentlemen, we find that same type of persecution taking place against the church of the Lord Jesus Christ today and against believers. Most of these cases, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, of Christian persecution and prosecution were in the state of Colorado, California, Oregon, Washington State, and other states across America where the left, socialist Democrats are in control. Now, I can't place it any more squarely on the shoulders of any other group than the socialist leftist Democratic Party and those in charge. And ladies and gentlemen, it's going to get worse as we continue this broadcast. We're going to talk about issues and things that the leftists are planning to do in January, on January the 3rd, when they go into office for the 116th Congress. Ladies and gentlemen, may I remind us, we're in serious trouble as a nation of Christians. We also have seen some of these cases defended all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court and legal remedy relief for the Christian defendants. Yes, after years and years and millions of dollars and ultimately bankruptcy, some of these are being vindicated. Here's an order, for example, and it goes back to what I was stating earlier with the florist. This article says religious freedom in danger. United States was founded on the principle of God, not government, in the source of our fundamental rights. Our founding fathers included 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence that understood clearly. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are the life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men. Ladies and gentlemen, the other widely held understanding during the founding era was that religion and morality formed the fundamental foundational basis on which our society is formed. But ladies and gentlemen, that is being dismantled day by day and moment by moment by the left in America today. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go ahead and give you the question, the comment, please.
Yes. Good morning, Brother Youngblood. What's interesting is historically, the early believers all were Jewish, and when Saul of Tarsus was given the letters from the high priest, that authorized him to only go to the Jewish believers, the followers of the way, or the sect of the Nazarenes. And discussing Israel yesterday in the tribulation and during Jacob's trouble, that fits in well with...
Absolutely. You've cut off on me. You're still there?
And they were persecuted.
Yes, and that persecution is escalating in society today. And in a moment, I'll talk about an article that is so devastatingly, frighteningly real when the Democrats take office and what they intend to do. But you're exactly right. When Saul of Tarsus went in to the high priest with the into the Damascus, at the very gates of Damascus, yes, seeking warrants and authorization to persecute, to prosecute, and to put to death the Jewish Christians. In fact, the majority of the Christians of that era were Jewish Christians that had gotten saved.
Unless they were proselytes of the gate or proselytes of righteousness, and then they became Hebrews or Israelites or Jews. But they actually, though, it was a Jewish civil war, basically.
Absolutely, and we're finding that today, but on the broad basis of just simply Christian civil war that I believe, and I am so dogmatic about this, and perhaps you and others can hear it in the sound of my voice, I'm dogmatic about this because what I see on the horizon is ultimately open in your face persecution and prosecution for the Christians in society in America today. And it is frightening.
Yeah, and I also see for the Jewish people as well.
Absolutely. In fact, we're seeing today anti-Semitism on the rise, where Jewish people are being blamed for everything. In fact, I've listened to some of the loose left, lost liberals on the left that state that somehow, some way, the Jewish people are responsible for all harm and all evil and all wrong in America today. It is simply a Jewish hatred.
Well, you know, the term Jew, Yehuda, Judah, means praise, and Satan hates that, because the praise isn't directed at him. The praise is directed towards the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And even the word of God, I believe in Isaiah, states, these people have I formed for myself, they shall show forth my praise. So the true Christian can be a true Jew. They praise the true God. But in context, it was Abram, a Gentile, became a Hebrew. And then the term Jew came about from Judah. And Israel, of course, came about through Jacob. And Jacob's old name still was used, but Jew is a hated name by Satan because it literally means praise.
Well, one of the things, if you study Revelation, the 12th chapter, you understand why the Jewish people are hated. It's because out of Israel came Jesus, Yeshua, Messiah, and as a result of that, the Jews are hated. Israel is hated, not realizing it's a hatred emanating from Satan himself being played out in the minds and the hearts of people, wicked people today in society. It's a battle against good and evil. It's a battle against God and Satan. It's a battle being played out in the hearts and minds of human beings today.
Yes. Thank you. Have a great day.
Thank you. God bless you for your call. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the potential of grave injustice with open persecution for the Christians in America, and that's on the horizon today. In fact, it was President George Washington in his farewell address that said this. Let me read it to you. Of all the dispositions and habits which led to political prosperity, religion and morality are indispensable supporters. In vain would the man claim to have tribute of patriotism who should labor to subvert these great pillars of human happiness, these firmest props of the duties of men and the citizens of America. Ladies and gentlemen, George Washington understood that our fundamental foundation is built on morality and Christianity and the beliefs in God and the Bible and what God's Word would have us to do and say. But ladies and gentlemen, we're watching today the erosion of that. Our Bill of Rights provides for the protection from government, our religious freedom of speech, our religious liberties. We have what today is called the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. Some of you may be familiar with that. The Religious Liberties Restoration Act is a law, ladies and gentlemen, that was signed by William Jefferson Clinton while president in 1993. It passed, by the way, almost unanimously out of both houses of Congress, the House and the Senate. It passed, and it was for the protection of Christians in America. Also, about half of the states of the United States of America have instituted what's called the RFRA laws. That's RFRA, that is the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. I recall back in 1998, the RFRA was passed for the state of Florida. And ladies and gentlemen, perhaps you've never heard that before. Perhaps you don't know what I'm talking about. Let me just give you a little information. It's a law that protects Christian citizens from prosecution and persecution just simply because they're being obedient to their conscience and the Word of God. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, let me just give you a little brief. I have a document in my hand called the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. It says most people believe that the First Amendment prevents threats against the religious freedom. However, in 1990, U.S. Supreme Court ruling in Employment Division versus Smith reduced the level of protection historically afforded religious liberty. Then in 1993, the U.S. Congress passed the Religious Freedom Restoration Act to restore a higher threshold of federal protection. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, let me stop for a moment and interject here. Anytime we allow a freedom that we have or a liberty that we have to be given to us, granted to us by legislative action, that same legislative action that gives it to us can then legislate it away from us. You understand what I'm saying? Therein lies the danger. In 1993, a Religious Liberties Restoration Act was instituted, was inaugurated, was signed by the president. We ought not to have such as that, but that's been the case. And that, ladies and gentlemen, was as a result of a Supreme Court case in 1990 called Employment Division versus Smith. And as a result of the Supreme Court's ruling, it literally diminished the protection of the Constitution for religious people, Christian people in America. The measure had bipartisan support, by the way, passing the Senate by a vote of 97-3 and the House voice vote with no opposition. And this article says, thanks to this new law, Americans will once again be protected against infringements of religious liberty arising from what the Supreme Court called neutral, that's neutral laws and general applicability. End of quote. Ladies and gentlemen, the Religious Freedom Restoration Act provides protection for Christian doctors and Christian nurses that do not want to participate in abortions. This law protects Christians in business that do not want to violate their conscience and participate in sodomite weddings or sodomite baking of cakes or sodomite flowers being made by Christian florists for sodomite weddings. It protects Christian pharmacists that do not want to provide drugs that are against the Scripture and against the Word of God. This article continues and it says, to date, about half the states have protected their citizens with their own RFRA laws, R-E-F-R-A, that's Religious Freedom Restoration Act, through state court decisions that rejected the applicability of the federal Smith ruling in their own state. Ladies and gentlemen, what I'm simply saying is the Religious Freedom Restoration Act that was passed in 1993, signed by William Jefferson Clinton, has given the American Christian a modicum, understand me, just a modicum of additional layered protection against the onslaught of the loose left, lost liberals, those that are the socialists, those that are the immoral, ungodly, unholy political leaders, those that have succumbed to the LGBTQ, the sodomite agenda, those that have succumbed to the murder by way of abortion by the Planned Parenthood agenda. We've had a little modicum of protection since 1993 under that. But ladies and gentlemen, today is a different story. Today, in fact, let me just read you a little article titled Religious Freedom Firestorm. And this goes back when Kristen Powers, in fact, she's still one of the commentators with, I believe it's the Communist Network News, better known as CNN. Powers penned a strongly worded USA Today column suggesting Christians should simply abandon rather than assert their religious right not to participate in or facilitate or participate in same-sex unions. She disagrees that states where court challenges to marriage laws should provide legal protection to individuals and businesses, including weddings, photographers, bakers, florists, bed and breakfast inns, faith-based adoption agencies, who have found themselves persecuted and prosecuted or penalized for taking the Bible's commands about marriage and children to be serious, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a person that was formerly with Fox News and is now with CNN. And Kristen Powers, by the way, claims to be a saved person. And if she's saved, then I am concerned about what God's word says that a Christian ought to be and should do and the position that we should take. Her position is that we as Christians should simply abandon our religious liberties and our rights and simply facilitate and participate in these ungodly, unholy things that we are saying no to. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a serious problem that is afoot today in our society, especially emanating out of those going into the House and some in the Senate in Washington. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, here's a brief thought, biblically speaking. Proverbs 29 and verse 2 says, "When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn." May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, that's where we are today. We have those that are going into office in January that have a divisive determination of what they're going to do. Today, perhaps as never before, ladies and gentlemen, modern America, religious freedom, religious liberties are in grave, grave danger. In fact, Jeff Sessions, while still the U.S. Attorney General, Jeff Sessions, here's an article that is high profile about this. Jeff Sessions announced a religious liberty task force to combat the dangers of secularism. The Justice Department's latest move is another nod to the Christian nationalism by the Trump administration. Attorney General Jeff Sessions announced the creation of a religious liberty task force that will enforce a 2017 DOJ memorandum ordering federal agencies to take the broader possible interpretation of religious liberties when enforcing federal laws. That memo, for example, prohibits the IRS from threatening the tax-exempt status of any religious organization that actively lobbied on behalf of a political candidate, which is not allowed under the Johnson Amendment. And by the way, the Johnson Amendment has been put on hold, at least for the present time, by President Trump when he signed an executive order May 10th of 2017 to prevent the IRS from enforcing or attempting to enforce that at all. But ladies and gentlemen, we're in serious danger. And here's the reason I say we're in serious danger. It is because those coming into the House as newly elected and those that are presently there are simply wild-eyed in what they're wanting to do. Let me just read you from an article that says, "The House Dems out to get religion." Talking about the House Democrats. This is by Tony Perkins, the Washington Report, by the way. "One of the most important religious freedom laws in America turns 25 this Friday." Talking about the Religious Liberties Restoration Act. It turns 25 this Friday. And Tony Perkins says, "But will it make to 26? House Democrats are doing everything it can to ensure that it doesn't. A quarter of a century ago, nothing about religious liberty was controversial. In fact, the Religious Freedom Restoration Act was so popular that all but three members of the Congress voted yes. Bill Clinton signed it into law. I've talked about that. But here's what's taking place. Now the party of the Democrats, a party that almost unanimously agreed by the government shouldn't undermine religious freedom in 1992, have now 172, listen, the Democrats have 172 co-sponsors, and they're ready to scrap the Religious Freedom Restoration Act and take a sledgehammer to the first freedom that America has, and they'll have control of the House in advance of that attack. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, it's being led by Gerald Nadler, Democrat of New York. And here's what he says. They've just carved out what they're doing. They're taking the Religious Freedom Restoration Act that's in law now, and they're going to carve out of it things like marriage, sexual orientation, gender identity, abortion, health care, and any other area where longstanding religious beliefs clash with the vogue and values of the left's agenda. Ladies and gentlemen, they're wanting to repeal the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. And it would be a nightmare, this article says, Tony Perkins writing, will be a nightmare for men and women of faith, especially Christians, who just wants the freedom to live out their beliefs in peace. They'll be incredibly hard to do. Istook, as one of the senators, warned, since the Democrats' bill would wipe out the Supreme Court victories in the Hobby Lobby and Masterpiece Cake cases. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, the left is on the move. The Looney Tunes called Socialist Democrats are wanting to destroy the religious liberty protections that you have and that I have in the United States of America. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, we need to stand up, speak up, be heard, be seen. We ought not to sit down in passivity. We ought to recognize, ladies and gentlemen, that our liberty, our freedom of speech, our religious liberties, our religious freedoms to worship as we choose and to follow the dictates of the Word of God and what God's Word says is absolutely at this very moment in grave jeopardy. We need to be salt and light. Stand up, speak up, call your house members, say, no, 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 don't you dare remove the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you on the air, even tomorrow, as once again, we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.